For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Hey, Aaron, I have a quick question about the shopping cart law.
Yes, sir.
If the police are chasing somebody with a shopping cart, if they just start running, do the police have to call off the chase?
That's a good question. You're referring to our police chase laws. I don't know. I don't have that answer for you.
I'd like to find out.
Yeah.
I find it interesting. I have some stats that I'm going to do in my top story here on car thefts. And of course, they're just through the roof because the cops can't chase them. I'm wondering if we care about shopping. Mean, I think the shopping cart law is a good idea. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if we can be tougher on shopping carts than we can on car theft, then I think we're a little misplaced in our priorities.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Federal Way's getting it figured out, it looks like, though.
Okay, good for them. Yeah. But if you're a shopping cart thief, just hit the gas, baby. Nobody can chase you. All right, we're coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to the weekend. Glad you're with us. Gorgeous Christmassy Friday afternoon. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
So the stats are stunning. Our friend David Rose at Fox 13, he's doing his spotlight show on this tonight and this weekend. In just November, we have the numbers in. For just the month of November, there were 2,300 cars reportedly stolen in just King and Pierce counties. That is 80 cars per day in just our two counties, King and Pierce. And it's because of what the Democrats in the legislature did. They told car thieves that we're going to make Washington the best place in America to steal cars. But, I mean, think about the cost and all of the nightmarish things that those owners have to go through when cars are stolen. And it's all because we let criminals run amok. I'm going to focus on this more later in the afternoon. But I do have a conversation. I'm going to follow up on what has been the most talked about stories of the week. It's been one of the most talked about stories of the year around here. Up next in the big lead.
The big lead. Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, it was 2 days ago when a jury down in Pierce County returned a unanimous not guilty verdict for the Pierce County Sheriff, Ed Troyer. And now we've had almost 2 days to kind of sift through the rubble of that whole mess. Ed Troyer joins us once again here on the Dory Monson Show. Sheriff, good to talk to you as always.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
So one question that's come to my mind, you were PIO for how long down there? About 20 years?
Yeah, I'm 37 years on, 20 of it as our program manager and running our media department and a bunch of other things that were a little bit lower profile, yes, and then 2 years as sheriff.
Okay, because I think there was pretty unanimous consensus in the media and elsewhere, certainly among the public, because I think this is why you got elected sheriff. There's pretty unanimous consensus that you're one of the best public information officers that most of us had ever dealt with. How do you go from that? Somebody that the media loved, that the public voted for as sheriff, how do you go from that to being such a polarizing figure now?
From becoming the elected sheriff and being the white elected sheriff, in a state where they don't want elected sheriffs. They don't want their law enforcement to work for the voters. They want their law enforcement to work for them. And soon as I stuck my first election sign in the ground, everything changed, started getting vandalized, started getting threats. As my grandkids say, upside down world, kind of from some of those Netflix shows. And even at that age, they're picking up on it. So it's been a strange experience, but one that I'm built for and one that I want to keep moving for because as an elected official, I represent the people. And, you know, and your people have helped over the years, even clear back with Ron and Don and all the charity stuff we've done, and you and Curly and helping with raising money for officers. I've been part of that for 20 years, and so have all of your listeners, and so have a lot of my friends and the community, and I think they don't like that. I think we represent that as elected sheriffs, and they're coming after us. We all have bullseyes on our backs.
So King County voters made it is the most bizarre vote I have ever seen, when a couple years ago they said, we will give up our right to elect a sheriff. We will just let the politicians pick him. So now essentially Dow Constein gets to pick the sheriff. The sheriff has zero independence. You know, I hear the Patty Cole Tindall's a nice person, but she has zero independence, and she cannot do anything that would run afoul of what Dow Constein and his party machine wants. And what they want clearly is more crime, because that's what they've unleashed on the region. And so I think what your warning here is something everybody should heed. If we just make sheriffs another office in a political machine in every county, the public is not going to be well served by that.
That's correct. I mean, there's a lot of great police chiefs in the state, but the one thing they all have in common is they got to be careful what they say and do when it comes to dealing with the councils and the mayors and the executives, because they could lose their jobs. And that is not the case for elected sheriffs. We work for the people. And we're able to stand up, and like I have down here with my staff in our department, we've done a lot of things that other departments can't do because they're constrained by the politics of everything. I'm not. And I believe that that's why I've been targeted, and some other sheriffs have been targeted. I mean, the King County Sheriff was targeted. They've gone after the Snow County for a recall, Thurston County for a recall, Lewis County for a recall. And I think people have failed and on all those. And in fact, our county council took a vote to try and go to appointed sheriff and lost. They didn't have enough votes to make that go on the ballot for a few more years, but it won't be for lack of trying. And even if it's not me or the current sheriffs that are in position right now, whoever it is, you want to be able to elect your sheriff to lead your law enforcement in your county, or things will change dramatically and the counties will start looking like some of the things we're seeing happening in the cities.
Yeah,
and people know I'm a law and order guy, and I sure don't want Pierce County to turn into Seattle. During my election, I said, don't King County or Pierce, and there's no way I'm going to let Pierce County turn into the mess that's up in Seattle. It's no secret. So I haven't won a lot of points with some of the local politicians with that.
And you also told me a couple of days ago, you think that you earned the wrath of Jay Inslee because you didn't have a vax mandate. You're not anti-vax. You just believe in an individual's choice. And you did a lot of lateral hires from other departments, from people who did not want to get vaccinated. Do you really think that something like that put you in Jay Inslee's crosshairs?
Well, they're willing to fire people for not taking the vaccination at the state level and in the King County level. If they're willing to fire people, I'm sure it made him a little cranky that I'm hiring and taking laterals. And we've hired 60 people, new hires, laterals from the state, from Seattle, from different agencies. And whether it's because of the vaccination or not, you know, we don't ask that question. But we do have 60 new officers since I've been sheriff that work for us. And a lot of those are laterals from the state and Seattle. And I guess it kind of speaks for itself. And I've heard many times that state government and Inslee and some of them aren't happy that we were doing that. That's one of a few reasons. There's others, I'm sure, but I can't pinpoint it other than I just don't go along with what they're looking for and what they want to do on a state level. We're not going to do in Pierce County.
You know, I brought up something on my show yesterday. I want to get your reaction to this. That that Bob Ferguson, he goes after you for a he said misdemeanor. We know for a fact that Jenny Durkin wiped thousands of techs, not only Jenny Durkin, but Carmen Baus and Harold Scoggins, the police chief, and other city officials. They wiped thousands of techs around the time of Chaz Chop and them giving up the East Precinct. That is a felony charge. Washington is the strongest open records act in the nation, and that is a felony charge when public officials destroy public records. Bob Ferguson doesn't go after Jenny Durkin or any of these other public officials for a felony, and yet he went after you for a he said misdemeanor. I mean, there was no evidence other than what two people were saying. He goes after you for a misdemeanor, but doesn't go after Democratic Seattle politicians for a felony. What does that tell us about the state of law and order in our state?
Well, when it comes to that particular issue, I did read some articles that said Bob Ferguson was quoted as saying that's up to the local police to investigate. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that was up to our local jurisdiction and prosecutor to take care of, too, if there was actually an incident. But there wasn't with me. They created it with the Seattle Times. And if you take a look at how it came to be, the Attorney General's office called the Pierce County prosecutor multiple times and asked to take the case. And the Pierce County prosecutor said, no, we'll take a look at it. We got it handled. But then we get the letter from the governor using his powers to take it against the prosecutor's will and to take the case and give it to the AG. I have that letter signed by Jay Inslee. And the worst part about this letter is that in the letter, it states that they're going to charge Pierce County for the prosecution and expenses. So it was obviously targeted. You know, my race is nonpartisan. I'm not a registered Republican or Democrat, right. But I am, you know, want to stick up for our people, law and order, and don't like seeing car theft. I mean, everybody can look around and raise their hand, been a victim of crime in the last 2 years, or their next neighbor has, or their family member has. And we've got to have somebody push back and fight that from the other side, or this whole state's going to turn into chaos.
I've heard Ferguson say what you just quoted, and your point is excellent, that that your misdemeanor was being handled by local law enforcement, just as Ferguson said the felonies in Seattle should be handled by local law enforcement. But Inslee comes in, bigfoots everybody, says, no, I want the state to take this over. And he certainly could do the same with Jenny Durkin and Carmen Best and Harold Scoggins. But he doesn't do that for a felony. He does it for your misdemeanor. So this is where people need to know that if we're in a state where you are targeted or protected solely on the basis of your ideology, then we're not in America anymore. That is the exact opposite of what America is supposed to be all about.
Well, you're right. And I can tell you the worst skill I have about being sheriff, you know what that is?
That's
partisan politics. Partisan politics. I was not ready for the onslaught of the two sides and the one side coming after you in the mob. It doesn't matter how much good work our people done and how much good work all the nonprofits that you and I and everybody have created and others, it doesn't matter. They're just going to come after you because you don't agree with what they say. And it's unfortunate that we have people that are in that high ranking of power that will do that and are willing to do that. It's actually scary and it's frightening. I've talked to other sheriffs and they've called me and they've talked and they're happy and that we stood up to this and I stood up to this. And I wasn't standing up just for me and my family and my department. I was standing up for all the people the bullies go after.
Yeah, understood. Because you're a couple years into this and all people have focused on is these accusations. What are the concrete things that you're most proud of or most excited about so far?
Oh, we've done some great things that you haven't heard about. I don't know if the media would ever cover them. One of our really good programs is we have a co-responder program where we embedded mental health workers with deputies to go out and deal with people's severe mental health issues. And we had three or four of those. Now we have nine. Budgeted for nine mental health workers to embed with their deputies. And they've gone out and talked people off of weapons and suicidal people. They've done so much great work that you know, and it's going unrecognized. We also have a new program we're starting called an alternative response team, and it's with social workers, where we're going to embed deputies with social workers to go out and handle people that are homeless, drug addicted, minor mental health issues that the co-responder team doesn't have to, and navigate services for these people and to become experts at it and let our other cops go back to doing police work. And that would take some of the burden off our department and try and get people services. That's a great program, and our social services director has created it with us, but nobody's heard about those programs.
How dare you say the media never covers this, as I, on my radio show, cover it right now.
You are.
What
you
the
are
heck is that?
Right now.
Okay,
you know,
there
of,
you go.
One of the other things is you are. And we actually have a health and wellness officer that's coming in that we built, and it's a program for our own people. Because, as you know, suicides amongst police have gone up dramatically.
Yeah.
Depression. The lack of support or the feeling of lack of support from the community. It's hard to do this job, especially in this state with the defunding and different police reforms. It's hard to do this job. I'm really proud that our people have been able to hire 60 people when other departments are going in the other direction.
I gotcha.
We're still 50 deputies. We're still 50 deputies down, but a health and wellness officer to help our own people, you know, when they're in need, and try and retain good employees and get them the services they need too.
Yeah.
Police work has changed, and, you know, we're still recruiting, but we do have all these good programs going. And, you know, for so many years, they would always say, hey, what about the homeless? What about the mental health, drug addicted? Well, let the cops handle it. Just let the cops handle it. Well, that's not the answer. And we acknowledge that that's not the answer. And that's why we're building these other programs.
Okay.
But, I just want everybody to know that we're out doing that. We're taking care of business this last 2 years, and I look forward to building upon all this in the next 2 years.
I know it's probably, and we got to be real quick. I only got 30 seconds. It's probably a year away, the decision, but I need to be the first to ask. After all this nonsense, you going to run for re-election?
Well, it was really clear that I was going to do one term, because our few sheriffs before Paul Pastore each did 3, 3, and 4 years. I was going to do one term, try and get done what I could. But since I've been disrupted a little bit, and I'm feeling really charged and good right now, I want to do good things for the community, I'm putting that back up on the shelf to examine again, whether we want to keep our team in place and keep going and keep the citizens safe for another 4 years. I haven't made that decision yet, but I am starting to take a look at that and lean at that. You know, I'm only 61, so I have a few more years left in me. Not quite the president's age, and so I think I can do another good term, and I've got a great staff and a great crew, so I think we'll be able to take care of business as long as we need to.
All right. It's good talk with you, and I'm glad what I perceived as a witch hunt is over. Hang in there. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Okay. Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer joining us, and that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Since we talked with the sheriff in the opening segment there, coming up next, we are going to continue with the Big Lead. Another young, healthy person dies of a heart attack, and yet the vaccine push is as strong as ever in America. We need to talk about this, and we will next here on the Dory Monson Show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Nights ago, I was driving home. I mentioned this yesterday, I think, that I was driving home after a dinner and I was listening, of course, to Cairo News Radio. And at the end of CBS News, they ran a commercial for Get Vaccinated, paid for by our government through the pharmaceutical companies. Get Vaccinated is the message. You heard earlier this week that they're stepping up efforts to vaccinate children beginning at 6 months old. I heard a story today about a local firefighter who very unexpectedly died at home. And I'm not going to say his name right yet because I don't want to be perceived as, you know, we don't know the cause of death yet, except that this is a young, healthy firefighter, and his family and friends say that his passing was a complete, unexpected surprise. I bring that up because I shared with you a couple of days ago a Twitter thread from Alex Berenson. Alex is a former New York Times reporter. He is now very active independently and on Substack. And he was writing about the United States soccer journalist, Grant Wall, who died at the World Cup at age 49. And he said, you know, the pro-vax crowd, they loved using, I mean, almost gleefully in the case of the Seattle Times, they loved using the deaths of people who were unvaccinated so that they could try to encourage everybody to get vaxxed. When our really dear friend, State Senator Doug Erickson, died, and he was anti-mandate. He wasn't anti-vax. He thought everybody should make up their own mind, but he was not vaccinated. And he went to Central America, and he got COVID, and he died. And the Seattle Times was nauseating in their glee in covering his death and how they were tying it to him being anti-vax. But what's interesting is you never see the unexpected rise in deaths in young people being tied to the vaccination. But I wanted to share with you again today, because I think it's important that you know also, you hear the other side of this story constantly from the commercials and from everybody else in the legacy media, that you got to get vaxxed, get your children vaccinated, check your babies. And so I just want you to hear another side in all of this. But what Alex Berenson wrote on Twitter, when was this, 2 days ago, he said, I realize talking about this stinks. I realize many, perhaps most people who got the mRNA are aware that they were deceived, even if they'll never admit it. They have no plans to get more or let their kids have the shots and just want to forget that 2021 ever happened, but we can't. In part because the hardcore of mRNA fanatics in the public health bureaucracy will not stop pushing the shots. And in part because the mandates last year must never be repeated. And that means letting people know the severity of the risk forced on them. I can talk about the stunning rise in all-cause mortality over and over. But unfortunately, one individual story is likely to have much more impact, which is exactly why the vaccine advocates constantly highlighted the deaths of unvaccinated people last year. And then he says, I'm sorry if Grant Wohl's family prefers no one discuss what might have caused his death, but he was a public figure and publicly pro-mRNA shot, and his wife is a huge jab advocate, trying to shame silence those of us raising serious questions about the vax safety will not fly. Especially since mRNA advocates have spent far too much time finger-wagging and too little actually investigating potential issues around the vaccines for almost 2 years now. So no, I will not stop trying to figure out how risky these novel biological products really are. I just wish some of the people who spent 2021 trying to force them into the arms of billions of people would join me in that investigation. One might even say they have an obligation to do so. Former New York Times reporter Alex Berenson. So let's talk about some of the facts. There was a story in the Seattle Times about how the deaths from heart attacks have risen sharply in America for adults 25 to 44 years old. And that is happening at a time when that demo was getting vaccinated, with a vax that had never been injected into a human body before. Yi Hui Yao, author of the study and a Cedars-Sinai physician scientist, says, we're still learning the many ways by which COVID-19 affects the body, regardless of age, gender, ethnicity, or race. But here are the stats. Here are the facts. In the United States of America, in the first year of the vax, heart attacks went up 14%. By the second year of the pandemic, increase in heart attacks blew apart the models used to predict how many people would lose their lives to these events. Okay, listen to this. Cedars-Sinai, it's in the Seattle Times. Fatal heart attacks among adults ages 25 to 44 in America went up 30%. Over what was predicted. For 45 to 64, heart attacks went up almost 20%. For 65 and older, heart attacks have gone up 13.7% in America. Is this because of the vax? The soccer journalist, Grant Wohl, his family did an autopsy, and they said that he had an aortic aneurysm. But was it made more deadly by the vaccination? We have to at least consider that. If you're thinking about getting your six-month-old injected, and I also want you to hear from another doctor, Dr. Asim Malhotra, who was talking about the connection between the vax and heart conditions.
The title of my paper is Curing the Pandemic of Misinformation on the COVID mRNA vaccines through real evidence-based medicine. In part one of the paper, I aim to determine, through critical analysis of randomized controlled trial data and real-world evidence, the true benefits and harms of the COVID mRNA vaccines, with special emphasis on the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine. The conclusions are quite sobering. In the non-elderly population, the numbers needed to treat to prevent one COVID death run into the thousands. Reanalysis of randomized controlled trial data from both Moderna and Pfizer reveals one is more likely to suffer a serious adverse event from the COVID-19 vaccines than to be hospitalized with COVID-19.
So in other words, the vaccination is more likely to kill you than COVID is, especially if you're 25 to 44 years old. So why is Jay Inslee still pushing this? Why are radio commercials still pushing to get vaxxed? Why is the Washington State and King County Department of Health encouraging parents to start injecting their six-month-old babies? But this is absolute madness. And here's the data.
Pharmacovigilance data, coupled with plausible biological mechanism of harm, is also deeply concerning, especially in relation to cardiovascular safety. Mirroring a potential signal from Pfizer's phase 3 trial, there is also a significant increase in out-of-hospital cardiac arrests in England in 2021. Data which is also replicated in Israel, with an increase in heart attacks and sudden cardiac death in people aged between 16 and 39, specifically related to the COVID mRNA vaccines and not related to COVID.
I believe this information everybody should know, because you are being bombarded with paid propaganda from the pharmaceutical industry. And I'm one of the victims. If I knew then what I know now, I never would have gotten the... I mean, I got two vax and one booster, and I'm done. I'm done. I've learned way too much in the last several months. You need to make up your own mind for yourself. And I am not here to advocate for you choosing to get vaxxed or not vaxxed. But I am here to provide you with information that can at least begin to counterbalance the massive fire hose of pharmaceutical paid propaganda that's been pushed at Americans for 2.5 years now. Because there are too many young people dying, too many healthy young people shockingly dying. And we need to consider that the next time you think about getting an injection in you or your little kids especially. All right, quick timeout. Lots more to do. I told you I'll come back to the car theft story. Also, school calendars getting remarkably less crowded to reduce stress. All that is still to come here on the Dory Monson Show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Man! I think I have a way. I have a way to streamline school calendars. I just saw that the Edmond School District has announced that every Friday, next school year, every Friday, schools will be let out 75 minutes earlier to shorten the day. It's all to reduce stress on the kids and teachers. As thinking, let's take a peek at the Edmond School District calendar that they need to de-stressify. And it's interesting. School starts right after Labor Day. They have an early release day now on September 23rd. This current school year. Early release on October 7th. October 21st, no kids. Professional Development Day. October 24th through the 28th, early release. Early release on November 10th, holiday November 11th, no students November 23rd, holiday 24th and 25th, no students and holiday December 19th through January 2nd, holiday January 26th, early release January 27th, no kids on January 30th, holiday February 20th, no kids the next day, February 21st. Early release March 15th and 16th. No students on March 17th. Early release March 31st. No school at all, April 3rd through the 7th. That's a whole week off. Early release later that month. Early release May 12th. No kids May 26th. Holiday May 29th. Early release June 9th. It seems like that's a lot of days. And then you get 2.5 months off after that. I have an idea. Why don't we save taxpayers some money? Why don't we sell off all the real estate that every public school sits on, take all of that money, it'd be billions and billions and billions of dollars, return it all to the taxpayers, and just declare every school day a non-student day. If you get hired as a teacher, you can just collect a paycheck, but we won't have any schools and any kids anymore because we seem to be moving quickly in that direction. Now, I know the flip side of this is that kids are more disturbed than ever. 2.5 years of putting masks on them and telling them for a long part of that they couldn't ever visit their friends. They couldn't play sports. They couldn't have friends over to their house. They couldn't go to a friend's house. We got a lot of kids. And I have a lot of friends who are in the schools. And they tell me that student behavior has never been worse. And so they create the problem, government does, by the school shutdown and the ridiculous mask mandate, which they're still talking about possibly bringing back after the new year, the mask mandate. So they create this tremendous problem, and the solution is, well, let's just not have them go to school as much because it's stressing everybody out. And meanwhile, American kids are falling dramatically behind the rest of the world educationally. Kids in Washington State are struggling compared to the rest of the nation now, and on it goes. But reducing the amount of school time when kids are already, we got 50% who fail to meet English proficiency and 70% fail to meet math proficiency. And the solution is, oh, we're going to shorten every Friday by 75 minutes. Takes the stress off. It's amazing. When you look at how much we're paying $20,000 per student per year for public schools, and that's the return on investment. Quick time out. We're going to check the news for you. And then, if you want to get a job for the government, there's one college degree you need to get, and I have the proof next here on the Dory Monson Show.